So all of these senses are going to be sort of, becoming specialized fields of AI where they can simulate human senses. And then on top of that, we are going to see more specific AI for specific industries. So there's going to be AI for finance. There's going to be AI for medicine. There's going to be AI for intellectual property, legal. All of these things, you can consider it as almost like some very, very knowledgeable people, like the father of AI, has called AI to be the next electricity or fire. So you can imagine if your life depends upon electricity and fire, in a similar way, it will also depend upon AI.
Welcome to Tech Intersect. I'm your host, Tanya Evans, and my life and work exist at the heart of law, business, and technology. Yeah, I've earned a few fancy titles and degrees over the years, but the bottom line is I'm a writer, speaker, teacher, and lifelong learner, and I'm really excited that you've joined me on this journey. So what is Tech Intersect? Well, it's authentic, empowering conversations with really interesting guests who demystify complex topics to prepare you for the future, because your future is now, and it exists where law, business, and tech intersect. Get ready to listen, learn, and leverage. Let's get started. In this episode of Tech Intersect, I am really excited to speak with Manoj Agarwal, who is an innovation evangelist and one of the leading AI experts throughout the world. As an intellectual property lawyer, I love this part of his bio. He has 4 patents in the fields of artificial intelligence and machine learning. He's a published author of 2 books on technology, and we'll certainly get into that. But I want to sing his praises even a little bit more because I'm so fascinated by and excited about his background as both an expert technologist. So Manoj is a behavioral scientist and expert in human psychology, but he's also an avid student of meditation, something I've been doing for almost the entire month of May as I try to unplug and really recenter myself so that I could come back in a truly balanced fashion. I find that challenging at times to find in the tech or finance or legal spaces. And so I'm always really excited to speak to someone like Manoj, who's also as passionate about meditative practices and education and sharing his knowledge with others as I am. In fact, he currently teaches almost 200,000, maybe 200,000 by this point, he'll tell us, students. He's a passionate mentor and coach for entrepreneurs and startup founders. He is also an advisor and consultant out of Tetra Noodle, and we'll talk about all of that and more in a moment. But first, Manoj, welcome.
Thank you so much. Wow, that was an amazing intro. Thank you so much.
Well, I'm available to go on the road with you all around. And, as you're talking about bootstrapping your dreams and all of that great stuff, but you are a unicorn in the sense of really managing so many or disparate areas, if we look kind of intellectually at them, and you've managed to bring them all together. So I'd really love, before we get in kind of the meat of our conversation around artificial intelligence, how you became this beautiful human and how you came to do the work that you do, particularly as you achieve balance.
Yeah, life has a funny way to teach the lessons that it wants you to learn. And most of what I do now, it has been a result of sort of some deep experiences, some painful experiences. And when human beings, we experience pain, we always are motivated to find relief from that pain. And that sort of led me down the journey of meditation, understanding the human mind, understanding psychology, neuroscience. And then as I was going through that journey, of course, my background is hardcore technology, artificial intelligence, and other technologies like blockchain. And I started seeing how our psyche, our human psychology, and our mind intersects with technologies like artificial intelligence, and how we can leverage these technologies to really unlock the hidden human potential. And so I will say, a combination of my background, combination of my personal experiences, and my curiosity to find solutions to some of the most common problems, if you will, mm-hmm. or things that people suffer from. And I suffered from that my whole life, like not realizing my power, not realizing the potential I had to make the kind of impact I'm making now. And then, you know, just realizing that a lot of people don't even realize it until even they are gone.
Right.
So what if we could unlock that potential for these people earlier on in life? What kind of world will they create?
Absolutely. That makes a lot of sense to me. And I actually think there are more commonalities, similarities, and maybe the better word is synergies between technology and just the quest for knowledge, for ways to leverage data and the integration of data, the extrapolation of data. We are this supercomputer as human beings that are not even fully tapping into the power that we have in our own brains and our own bodies. And on one hand, you and I spend a lot of time focusing on what are the new potentials to make things better, faster, cheaper, make the world a better place. But so many people are also suffering from a sense of disconnection by the very technologies that we are leaning into. I'm wondering your thoughts about that.
The idea is that we are always in a flux in terms of technological advancement. So I remember when I was growing up, my parents used to always worry about me spending too much time watching TV or TV shows or playing video games on TV. And before that, they used to tell me, my parents used to tell me that their parents used to be worried about them listening to the radio. And then before that, I'm guessing like, you know, reading the newspaper or what have you. So I think as technology advances, what happens is human experience changes. And as the older generation tries to sort of, you know, reconcile our experience with what the new generation is doing, there's always a catch up to do. So that's one aspect of just the human nature, how it expresses itself. Mm-hmm. The second thing is that, you know, now with technologies like AI and virtual reality and augmented reality, I think we are approaching an era where the physical contact and the virtual contact is going to merge in many ways. Like, think about it this way, right? Like, we are recording this interview sitting thousands of miles across, and this would have not been possible even maybe 20 years ago,
right?
So we are already enhancing the experience in one way. And now, let's say if we take up on, you know, if we do, I will really welcome you to come with me on the roadshow and, you know, experience talking to people about AI. When we meet, that virtual experience that we are having right now will be transferred into a physical experience, right? And vice versa. So the idea is that we need to have a little bit of patience as technology unfolds. But I believe we are approaching almost like, you know, those of us who are science fiction fans, you know, in Star Wars, in Star Trek, all of these places, all of these shows and TV series, you may have seen how telepathy works, how people are able to converse with each other through their 3D avatars. And so in that scenario, and it's not far from reality even today.
Right.
So those kind of experiences will bring us together and let us have that contact that we all yearn for. Now, the artificial or the virtual contact or connection may not be as authentic. It may take us maybe 80% there or 90% there. But nevertheless, I think technology is here to help us build that connection, even though from the outside, as we are going through this transition, it may feel like, oh, we are losing connection. But I firmly believe overall it is the world is getting smaller. Mm-hmm. We are coming together.
That's a powerful awareness. And I believe that as well. And it seems that with each advancement, when I think of starting at agriculture, for example, and moving to the industrial age, there was a wide span of time between those eras. And then from industrial to internet and all of the different iterations, we are living through the latest iterations as I think of greater decentralization, but moving from digital and internet to where we are now, it seems like the distance between evolution and revolutionary shifts in the way that we work and travel and connect, the way that we play, the way that we learn, the periods of time seem to be getting shorter and shorter and shorter. I describe it a bit as like birth pangs, right? Mm-hmm. We're getting closer and closer to something, whatever it is quite fascinating. But I feel that we all need to better understand what artificial intelligence is, the different types. People have trouble with some of the nomenclature, right? There's a lot of terms and terminology, machine learning. So let's start there and start to unpack this at a very basic level for our listeners. And the most obvious question is, what is artificial intelligence? Which probably could take 20 years, but if we could do it in a few minutes, and then we'll expand from there.
Our human mind is basically a pattern recognition machine. So even as we grow up, we say, we teach ourselves by just experiencing the world around us. So let's take an example of a 10-year-old kid. That 10-year-old kid, if he or she touches the stove, hot stove, their mind recognizes the pattern and says, okay, I should not touch the stove again because it hurts. So there's only one data point that is needed for our mind to learn something. But now let's make the situation a little bit more complicated, where that child is in the middle of Antarctica. It is very cold out there. The child is wearing heat resistant gloves, and the wind chill, the wind is blowing. And now the child touches the hot stove. In their experience now, it will actually feel pleasant, not hot. Mm. So now the child's mind has gotten more information about a more complex situation where there are multiple variables like the temperature, the heat-resistant gloves, all of these things combined. Now the mind learns that there is yet another situation which can lead to a new conclusion that it is okay. In fact, it is more pleasant to touch the hot stove in these conditions. Mm-hmm. Now, if we extrapolate it to larger problems like predicting the weather or finding cure for cancer or finding a solution for climate change, there are hundreds of thousands or millions of variables in that equation that the human mind is not able to wrap itself around it, right?
Right.
So machines have the power to ingest millions of data points, a lot of data, and they have the power to find very minute patterns in that data. So what human mind can see and learn is minuscule compared to what the machine can synthesize and learn. So that is what artificial intelligence is, taking our ability to think and sort of exponentially multiplying it using the similar mechanism of learning from data.
You love listening to podcasts, but have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? Maybe you want to build a brand, grow your business, or are looking for an excuse to talk about your favorite hobby. Whatever your reason for making a podcast, Buzzsprout is the place to start. Since 2009, Buzzsprout has helped over 300,000 people launch their own podcasts. Buzzsprout walks you step by step through the whole process and will give you powerful tools to start, grow, and monetize your podcast. Ready to get started? Click the link in the show notes to get our free step-by-step guide to starting your podcast today.
That's really, really helpful. And let's take it to the next step. What are the different types of artificial intelligence, and how does AI relate to machine learning, for example?
See, artificial intelligence has been around for decades. It started like in the 70s, and over the period of time, you know, people have called it many, many different names. So now you can imagine wherever human senses are involved, wherever we are looking for patterns, those areas will sort of have specialized AI technologies. For example, computer vision is a field of AI which helps the AI see what humans can see. There are auditory algorithms which can produce sound or even listen to sound. Now we are, the rage is all about generative AI, which is able to take your normal language, English language, and convert it into meaningful images, videos. So I'm actually sitting on a board of AI company which can listen to your cough through a mobile phone, and it can detect whether you have COVID or not. So all of these senses are going to be sort of, you know, becoming specialized fields of AI where they can simulate human senses. And then on top of that, we are going to see more specific AI for specific industries. So there's going to be AI for finance, there's going to be AI for medicine, there's going to be AI for intellectual property, legal, all of these things, you can consider it as almost like some very, very knowledgeable people, like the father of AI, has called AI to be the next electricity or fire. So you can imagine, if your life depends upon electricity and fire, in a similar way, it will also depend upon AI.
So when I think about the impact, the extraordinary impact, given some of the other tools that you've just mentioned that transformed the human experience for the ages, that necessarily leads to, obviously, questions of whether AI can ultimately replace human intelligence or whether it works in concert with, and that raises ethical implications. So that's a question that I'm not an AI expert by any stretch, but I hear that question about, isn't it a concern about AI replacing human intelligence or killing humans and some of the ethical implications of the technology? So your thoughts about that?
Well, I mean, there is no doubt that technology can be misused, but that is true for any technology, right? I can take a knife and I can cut vegetables and fruit for myself and nourish myself, or I can take that knife and murder somebody.
Right.
I can use fire to cook my food or burn down a home. It's the same thing with AI as well. So what I tell people is that we need to think about how humans have existed on this planet for millions of years. It is not because we are so competitive that we are so evil overall, but we have survived because we are collaborative, because we are empathetic, because we want to find solutions and we want to nurture our future generations. Because if humans had to kill ourselves and eliminate ourselves, we would have done that long time ago.
Fair. That's right? A fair point.
I mean, there has been so many times in history when humans have dwindled to a population of few thousand. You know, there have been world wars, there have been famines, there have been pandemics and epidemics. So there has been enough chances for humans to just go extinct. But yet here we are. So that means overall, we are a species that believes in future and creating a better future for ourselves. Yes, the news cycles and the information around us makes us believe that we are evil. But that's not the case. The second thing is, if we also consider that the fear that, AI is going to take over humanity. So that again reflects our human nature, where we have been trained to think that if you have power, your first order of business should be to eliminate others. But that's not the case. We find that most powerful people actually become powerful because they have the tendency to help other people.
Right.
And then the other thing is, knowing what AI means, what are algorithms and how things work, I'll give you a scenario. If AI has to become so powerful, and you have to realize that when people talk about eliminating other species, there's only one species that organizes, that wages organized war against each other, and that is humans.
Right.
No other species does that. And when war breaks out between two nations or two groups of people, it is not that one single person is so vile and evil that he or she wakes up and says, okay, I'm going to eliminate the other group. It is a result of generational trauma. It's a result of suppression of generations over generations that breaks out in a form of volcano and says, and it's a shape of war, right? Now, if we were to expect similar behavior from AI, I will imagine there has to be an engineer who is so tuned with human emotions and how these things erupt over generations, that he or she will need to be so enlightened. In fact, I believe he or she will need to be 10 times more enlightened and in tune than the Buddha himself to be able to understand these human emotions. And then he or she will need to be 10 times more intelligent to convert this knowledge into algorithms, into code. It's basically, we haven't even been able to define what consciousness is.
Right.
And yet we need to program it and then plant it into AI. And then you will have to be 10 times more evil than Hitler to say that, okay, I have developed this technology. Now let me plant it into AI and let it do its my bidding. So all of these things combined, you have to really understand, you know, how far we are from the reality and imagination, which stems from our fear of the unknown.
Hi, I'm Dr. Tanya M. Evans, author of Digital Money Demystified. And I want to let you know that to stay on the leading edge of any opportunity, especially investing, you have to empower yourself with the tools and resources needed to keep your knowledge and skills current. And if you're relying on last year's information or even last month's, look, you're already behind. Sure, you can try to figure this out on your own at YouTube University. The problem is, it's difficult to separate fact from fiction with so many carnival barkers banking on your inexperience. And of course, there are the naysayers, usually from legacy finance, banking on your fear while they quietly help their high net worth clients to invest. All of it muddies the waters when all you want to know is how to get in safely, legally, and confidently so you're not left behind. That's why I wrote Digital Money Demystified, where I take the top 10 crypto myths head on and give you well-researched, well-supported facts to empower you to make good choices out there in the new digital cash economy. As a law professor who developed the first blockchain crypto and law online certificate program, a retail and corporate crypto policy and education trainer, and a thought leader appearing regularly on national media, I've done the heavy lifting so you don't have to. Look, there are plenty of books and courses on which crypto assets to invest in. Digital Money Demystified is the book you read before you dive into those. So head to digitalmoneydemystified.com to learn more and prepare for the future of money and wealth today. Absolutely. I think that's really, really helpful and sets the stage for, okay, we can appreciate concerns. We can appreciate certainly how technology is neutral, but can be used for good or evil and all that it would take to render the extinction of humankind. Mm. So that being said, there's a lot of power and promise for the everyday person to use and leverage this technology. Let's focus in the time that we have remaining a bit about ChatGPTs, because that seems to be all the rage as well. And even my 70-something-year-old father asked, now, what is this, Ton, about this ChatGPT and how do I use it? So let's focus on first, what is ChatGPT as part of large language models and how it works at a fundamental level?
It's a very simple way to explain that. So what they did was, OpenAI as a company who is responsible for bringing ChatGPT, what they did was they ingested all the human written knowledge that has been written throughout human existence. And then what they did was they learned how humans write by learning what word comes after what phrase. Like, so when we teach a kid, we start with alphabet, right? So we say ABC, and then we say, okay, put two alphabets together and it makes a word. And then put multiple words together, it makes a phrase, and then multiple phrases together makes a sentence, right? That's how we teach humans. And the same methodology has been applied in learning what word comes after what phrase. And if you do it again and again, billions and billions and billions of time, you learn how humans communicate and how we have communicated throughout history. So that is the body of knowledge that is contained in platform like ChatGPT. So you can literally think of a very wise old person who has studied everything under the sun. This person has a PhD in business, PhD in sales, PhD in history, PhD in anthropology, PhD in like all the sciences. And now they are ready to answer any of your questions, right? So that's what the technology is. Now, how do we use it? What I say to people is, you know, the barrier of entry to do this has come down significantly. So there is no excuse to experience it. So let go of your fear and get over the misinformation. Just take a few steps, which is one, sign up for a free account for ChatGPT. Then start to interact with it as this super intelligent human being. Don't consider it as technology, but think of it as talking to an intelligent human being. And when we talk to an intelligent human being, what do we get? If we ask the right questions, we get the right answers. Okay. And as human beings, again, you know, our education system has not taught us how to ask the right questions. So using ChatGPT, become better at asking right questions. Okay, so that's one thing. And interact with it in such a way that how you will interact with a human being. Like, ask it to argue with you. Ask it to point out your blind spots. Ask it to be your devil's advocate. Because as humans, we cannot do that with other humans because we are afraid of judgment. But when you work with this technology, there is no fear of judgment. So that expands your mind beyond anything else that I have experienced. The second thing which I encourage people to do is start getting better at telling stories. Because stories are what connect us as human beings. They pack the emotional punch. But again, we are not really good at telling stories. So if you use ChatGPT to ask better questions, tell better stories, you will experience a profound change in your mind and how you think. And within few days, you will realize the power, you know, that you have in front of you.
I've enjoyed interacting and asking questions, follow-up questions. I felt it was very intuitive for me, especially when I think of the legal research that I've had to do as an attorney and as a law professor, using things like LexisNexis and Westlaw and having the right Boolean prompt in order to get, to the universe of information that I was searching for. And if I was too vague or too general, then thousands of entries would come back and I had to tweak and be more direct or specific or have follow-up questions. And I'd not really thought of, even though intuitively I was doing that with ChatGPT, your description of the interaction and the connection and the experience resonates with me quite a bit. In fact, I always say thank you. And would you please?
Yes, yes,
and
yes.
Have you considered? And oftentimes before I was using the paid version, and even with the paid version as well, I'll ask for some type of framework or summary and then see incorrect information. And I'll follow up and say, actually, blah, 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 blah. And they said, oh, my apologies.
Yeah.
You're correct.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Yeah. Don't treat it as a know-it-all, because it does have gap and it does make up things just like humans, just like us humans. We make up things all the time. Right. So treat it like that. And then if you're interested, let me give you one more practical thing, which is very, very fun to do. And this, everybody can try it. So let's say you want to achieve a certain goal in the next 30 days. So let's, it shouldn't be like a very big goal, but let's say you just want to travel to, take a mini vacation with your family or whatever. Now, what happens is that we set these goals, but we don't have a lot of clarity on what that experience is going to be like.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's our inability to articulate things or imagine in vivid detail what that experience is going to be like. So go to ChatGPT, describe yourself, describe this experience that you want to have, and ask it to write a very detailed, at least 2,000 word story in the first person and in the past tense, as if this thing has already happened. Okay. And in that story, ask ChatGPT to give you all the details about the people that you were with, the tastes, the cuisine you tasted, the weather, the places you visited, and then read it out to yourself. And then you will see amazing things happen. Your mind is going to go places. You're going to experience some of these things in real life, and you will start to experience what we call meditative effects. So so that's how powerful this technology is. And anybody who doubts, this is evil technology or whatever, if they just do this exercise for 7 days, just I love to ask for feedback, and I love to ask, okay, what happened after 7 days? so people then realize, oh wow, this is not a technology, this is like actually a magic wand that we can use to really expand our horizons.
I am so excited to do this. Mm-hmm. I am really, really excited. I know we can't see each other, but I'm smiling like, oh my gosh, I was using it just for business, but this can be an immersive meditative experience. And I'd not even thought of that. Mm-hmm. So thank you. And I encourage listeners, my favorite listeners, I encourage you to absolutely engage in this exercise and experience ChatGPT in that way as well. Okay. So final thing I want to discuss with you, Manoj, I know that you run a boutique big data and AI consulting company called Tetranoodle Technologies based in Canada. And please share with us the work that you're doing. I know you have some of your notable clients, Microsoft, IBM, Desire to Learn, the list goes on and on. So I'm very fascinated about the work that you do as well.
Yeah, so our work revolves around, you know, helping people adopt technology and solve complex problems. So we are an innovation and technology consulting company, and we specialize in AI because, you know, my background is AI. I have 4 patents in AI, and, you know, I was just recognized as a global thought leader in AI. So what we do is we sit down with our clients and we ask them, okay, you know, what is the end goal you're trying to achieve? Because a lot of people realize AI is a game changer, and they have ideas that they want to build products on. They want to improve their current existing businesses, make them more efficient or more profitable. So we understand those requirements, and then we work backwards from the goal. Because as technology, like we are, you can think of us as like chefs. You know, sometimes you go to a restaurant and they don't have a menu. And then they say, oh, okay, you know, tell me what kind of flavors you like to experience, and I'll make something up for you, especially for you. So you can consider us that kind of a chef, where we understand what people want, and then we work backwards doing the research on technology, putting together a team, or anything in between to get them the results that they're looking for, whether that's professional growth, personal growth. Because also, you know, as I said earlier, like, you know, my work doesn't only focus on technology, but also the impact that it can have on the human condition. Right. And honestly, like, once we go deep into it, professional success is nothing else but a expression of how we feel inside. So we work at very, very deep levels with these technologies to really help people achieve their dream life.
That's brilliant. That's really, really exciting. And I think that adds extraordinary value, not only to folks and businesses that with whom you're working, but then they go on to continue to build and continue to really advance humanity, which when we think as a matter of creativity and innovative steps, that's the whole point, right? To make humankind better. And so I'm really excited about your contribution to enable others to do that as well. And I see that you also have an outstanding podcast. It is, until we had this conversation, it was not in my podcast app. After this, it absolutely will be. I see that it has been ranked as one of the top 100 globally. And we're talking like with Tony Robbins, Gary Vee, Tim Ferriss, and the like. Talk a bit about what bootstrapping your dreams is.
So my story is that I used to work in a factory for $2 a day. And now, you know, I get to talk to people like you. I work with other thought leaders, Fortune 500 companies. So I have sort of reached this point with minimum to no resources. And that's the process that I call bootstrapping. And we all have so many dreams. We have so many desires in life. And yet we shy away from going after those dreams, thinking, you know, I don't have enough money, I don't have the education I need, I don't have the context. So the idea behind the podcast is to help people realize how much power they have and how little resources people need to actually get what they want in life. And so I bring on people who have had similar life experiences where, you know, they went from the bottom to the top. And sometimes back and forth, you know, they went to the top, then to the bottom, then back to the top again. And so the idea is to help share these stories to tell people that anything is possible as long as, you know, you really know how to create these goals and how to utilize the frameworks that are out there to achieve those goals.
Is this a weekly show, daily show?
Right now, we release one episode per week, but it also varies. You know, if we have sometimes we have very busy time, but sometimes
absolutely. You know, you're speaking to you're preaching to the choir,
exactly,
sir.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, this has been an outstanding conversation, and I'm excited for my listeners to hear more about you and your work. Certainly subscribe to Bootstrapping Your Dreams, the podcast. But Manoj, you also, because of your consulting consulting work have opportunities for folks to connect with you. So please share that information.
Yeah, the easiest thing will be to find me on LinkedIn and, you know, let me know that you heard me on this podcast and what you're trying to do, what kind of goals you have for your life, for your business. And absolutely, it'll be a pleasure to discuss that and see how we can help accelerate people's goals and help them achieve the dream life they are looking for through technology.
Outstanding. Well, Manoj Agarwal, it's been an absolute pleasure. And my greatest dream right now is to return to Vancouver and do the food truck walking experience, where I had some of the best food in my entire life as I walked from food truck to food truck and got to see the beautiful city and experience the food and the amazing people. So that's the top of my list.
Awesome. Well, next time you're here, you have to let me know because I love food myself.
Yay. So. Excellent. The foodie in me honors the foodie in you, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. Thanks.
Thank you so much for listening to the Tech Intersect podcast. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you love it, please tell the world. If not, go ahead and tell me. And in either case, drop a comment or ping me on social media at IPProfEvans with the hashtag TechIntersect. And finally, a quick reminder on digital safety. There are a lot of scammers out there impersonating me and others, and I need your help. Now hear this. And remember, I will never slide into your DMs to say peace and blessings or hey, and I will never reach out to solicit your time or your money on social media, like ever. I'm not a trader. I am an educator and an attorney licensed in 4 states. Thank you very much. I'm here to inform, inspire, and empower. No cap, and definitely no Forex. So be careful, make good choices, and remember, I developed an entire free masterclass about the topic of digital safety in the crypto space. So check out secureyourcryptobag.com for more information. That's secureyourcryptobag.com. All right, that's all for this episode. Until next time, continue to shine.